All right, jumping back in this week with our Therapy Thursday episodes, where again we're going to explain our thought process going through real life anxiety that we have throughout the week.
Let's kick it off. Therapy Thursdays. Oh, we're coming back to you. Therapy Thursdays.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
It's our new theme song for Therapy Thursdays.
Cut. Jesus. Well, you're giving me anxiety with that theme song.
You don't like it?
No, I love everything that you do. I like it. Don't worry. Anyways, I thought so. You want to kick us off with something you experienced this week related to an anxious thought?
Sure. Well, you know, we're still in the middle of a pandemic, and we hadn't been out the house for a while. So this weekend, some friends and I decided to rent a beach house and, you know, go there for the weekend. So Friday, I get off work. We head down there. We get the house. We grab some food. We ate a little bit. We start drinking a little bit. And I don't know why, I just started feeling anxious. Just like generally anxious, right? Like, I don't know. I just felt like...
Like a general feeling of being unwell or like...
Yeah. Yeah, you know how sometimes you just
almost
like
your skin's crawling. Like you just feel like off, right? Like something's weird kind of deal?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I just felt very weird. And anytime I feel like that, I'm like, you know, my anxious thoughts start kicking in. So I'm like, oh no, am I going to faint? Like what's going to happen? What's wrong with me? Fucking, I don't know. I'm dying of something. I don't actually think I'm dying of anything. But, you know, something is wrong with me. I got COVID, right? So that started happening sort of after we got to the house. I probably had a drink or something in me, and I had to think back to what I'd done that day so far, right? I woke up, I worked, packed, got in the car, drove there, and like sort of looking back throughout my day, I realized that I'd literally had no water all day. Like, I'd had a sip of water in the morning when I woke up, but then I forgot my water bottle at home, so no water in the car. When we got to the house, we hadn't bought water yet. We hadn't gone grocery shopping, so hadn't had any water in me up to that point. So I went, like, 6-7 hours without water, I think. So then I'm like, oh, shit, like, I'm really thirsty. I need to go and get some water. So I grabbed some whatever we had at the house, some Powerade or something. Chugged it down, and lo and behold, 15 minutes later, I felt great. It's interesting how something so simple as making sure you have enough water can make your sort of quality of life better, right, and your mental state better. Because even though it's a, like we've said, it's a physical thing that you're missing, right, like your body needs it, and so it's telling you that it needs it. Especially if you're already prone to anxious thoughts, your mind just automatically jumps there as soon as you start feeling a certain type of way. So, that definitely helped. And then throughout the weekend, I obviously made sure that I had enough water and enough food, you know, every single day so that I wouldn't feel that way again. I would enjoy my weekend.
That makes sense. Especially given that you were at the beach, it's hot. We're going through a heat wave anyways. Right, and you're more likely to be dehydrated with all those circumstances.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, you know, I went to the beach too, and like I was in the water, and salt water actually dehydrates you more, right? So even though you're in the water, it's not helping in any way. It's actually making it worse. You're under the hot sun. As I said, I was drinking alcohol. I was having some beers, which dehydrates you even more. So it was just a lot of things that suck water out of you and not enough stuff that pushes water back in. So you gotta be mindful of that and make sure you balance that out with some intake of water.
Yeah, definitely. One thing that I always find is crazy real quick about dehydration is from my understanding, when you are dehydrated, you are not thirsty because your body goes into a state which is like, well, you're not getting water, so it assumes that you can't find water because we're like foraging for water or something, right? We're like looking, we're walking through the desert trying to find water. So your body goes, well, I know you can't find water because you haven't had it in 4 or 5 hours. So I'm just going to stop making you thirsty because that way, once you get water, you'll know to drink it. But like half the time we're like, oh, la-di-da-di-da. I don't know shit about drinking water. And then, you know, you have those symptoms.
Yeah, and you pass by the cooler and you're like, oh, I'm not thirsty anymore. I don't need any water.
Yeah. And I mean, also, if you drink a lot and then you, you know, dehydrate because of the alcohol, it will also make your hangovers way worse as well.
Right.
Because you're fighting two things, right? The hangover plus dehydration, which is a part of it, of course.
Yeah, it's something I've actually found. If you enjoy drinking, at the end of the night, just like chug down a bottle of water. Like whenever you're done before you go to bed, chug down a bottle of water and you feel great in the morning because, like you said, the alcohol that dehydrated you, it the water sort of helps with that so you don't feel as dehydrated in the morning. And you're adding water into your system where it was only alcohol before. So it'll probably make you sleep a little bit better too, and you won't wake up feeling groggy because of bad sleep.
Yeah, I usually try to do one drink, for every one drink, one cup of water. But especially when you're drinking beer, you have to piss every 5 minutes, and it's the worst thing ever. I mean, it keeps you healthy, but geez, is it annoying to have to leave every 5 minutes to fucking just empty the tank?
Yeah, I have found that drinking White Claw, though, and not only have I found it, I've read an article that proves this too, but drinking White Claw is the least dehydrative method of drinking. So, like, it keeps you the most hydrated out of any other types of alcohol you can drink. Not specifically White Claw, just like seltzers, right?
Yeah.
But yeah,
when's the sponsorship coming in? Let's go.
I know, seriously. The Man Claw, that's what we're gonna call it.
Yeah, the Man Claw. What up? I wish we had sound effects so I could do like the doo 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 doo.
Or the Human Claw.
There we go.
How about you, Matt? Any anxious thoughts this week or anything around that?
Other than thinking I got COVID like every other day, because I just haven't been eating as well and like been stressed out. Because when I stress out, I don't eat. Or I usually drink a lot of water. But I don't end up eating as much. But yeah, my main thing this week was kind of stress for other people. So there's a lot of stuff going on in the world. You know, we're in the middle of a pandemic. And, you know, there's been this huge push right now to like either to become like a political issue with the post office. Right. And people are like, oh, we want to take away money. We want to give them money. We want to do whatever. Like all this stuff on social media has been about. You know, like, let's fund the post office, let's fund them, let's just buy stamps, let's buy whatever, let's do all these things. And it has a direct effect on me because my dad works at the post office.
Well, I think for you it's compounded though, right? Because there's already this high anxiety from everything going on around the post office. But then it's even more personal for you because your dad works there. Because, like, I mean, I've been feeling, I wouldn't say anxious, but worried about the post office and sort of worried about the implications of defunding them and all that and sort of what that'll do for the election and all this other stuff and our freedoms. But for you, it's sort of at a whole nother level.
Right. They like made it personal in a sense.
Right.
Because,
exactly.
You know, because my dad works there. And not only is it, you know, his livelihood and he enjoys working there, he's been there for many years. It's something that, you know, I want him to be safe while he's able to continue working. You know, like he's at the cusp of retirement age. And it's one of those things where, like, obviously, I want to make sure that they have funding, not only because, you know, we need to get our packages and we need to be able to vote, mail in ballots, whatever, all these different functions of the postal service. It's just, it's my dad, you know, and it's like just reading some of the news constantly just made my anxiety flare because then I'm like, well, what if he can't work? And, you know, I've already told him, I was like, hey, if you don't feel safe at work, if they're not taking enough precautions or whatever, like, I will pay for all your expenses. Like, I'll find a second job. I'll do whatever I can. Like, I do not worry about it. Like, you know, you raised me and like, I will take care of you. Like, obviously, son, he's very hard headed and kind of old school and is like, fuck it, I'll just deal with it. Even though like he may himself have anxiety about it. It's just he's kind of taught the same thing that a lot of people are, which is like shut up and deal with it. You know, and that's also another component of it as well, because I'm worried that if it gets real bad, he won't reach out for help, you know. So like it's harder because you know, with my own anxiety, it's easy for me to be like, oh, I'm gonna go meditate, I'm going to go do some exercises. I'm going to like play video games or something, do something to relax. When it's another person and somebody else's livelihood is affected, you have a lot less control over it. So all I can do is like check in with him and ask him like, how's it going? How's work? You know, like early on in the pandemic, they were providing everybody like a kit every day that had like a N95 mask, hand sanitizer, and like gloves in it. So, you know, when he's in different trucks or in different stations and things, right, he's safe, which I was like, is really important for me, you know, obviously that he remains safe because he's in that, you know, like that target group of people that are very, have, you know, poor outcomes related to the virus.
No, it's interesting. And, you know, you're a great son, obviously, for caring so much and doing what you can. And I think you hit it right on the head when you said that you're doing everything you can do, right? Like, you've offered your help. You've offered to do whatever you can do to help him. Sort of the other half of that is whether he chooses to accept that help or not. Do you think you offering to help and sort of the stress that that might cause you with like having to, you know, offer either financial or whatever other kind of help contributed to some of your anxiety as well?
I don't think so as much. I mean, I try to do a good job of like taking care of my finances and having enough money saved up to where, like, you know, if I lost my job, I'd have an emergency fund for a few months. You know, these are things that I did all pre-pandemic because, like, you know, just sometimes, like, in tech, things can happen. Companies can fold. I've seen a lot of, like, layoffs and stuff throughout the past few years at my company. So, like, having us have more layoffs during COVID, we're already kind of like, okay, cool. Like, we've been through this before, right? Just if it's our time, it's our time. But it wasn't really a monetary thing. It's just, like, a health thing because I know that at the end of the day, no matter what I do, like, I can always get more money. Right, I'm not worried about like having a job or anything because like I know I'll do whatever I can to survive. But when it comes to somebody's health, it's like if something happened to anybody in my family or my friends or like even throughout the world, right? Like you can't get them back once they, you know, they once they're gone.
No, of course.
So to me, it's kind of like those thoughts. And obviously, you know, we've talked about stoicism previously in some of the episodes, and it's one thing to realize like, okay, I'll die, but then like when you die, whatever's after is after, you have to deal with that. But it's like when other people die, it's you know, you know it'll happen, but obviously, right. Like I don't want to put gasoline on that fire and accelerate it and be sitting there and going like, you know, could I have done more to contribute or could I have like forced him not to work or whatever, all these things, right? And obviously at the end of the day, like it's his life. I don't have direct control over it. I can only influence as much as I can. But it just brought up a lot of those feelings where I was like, okay, well, and it's weird because like I've talked to him and he's like, yeah, I'm doing well. It's fine. Like it's really busy. He's getting a lot of overtime. Like he likes it. You know, he likes what he does. And I'm like, okay, that's great. But then it's like, well, what happens if they fully defund it, you know? Because he did say that, like, they're as busy as, like, during the holiday season as they are now. And a lot of that's been due to the pandemic and how we're constantly just buying stuff online, right? You know, some people are getting, you know, like now they're getting their prescriptions through the mail. Whereas, right. You know, and I guess, like, Amazon maybe made a change where they're using the postal service more instead of their own fleet. So it's a lot of things that contribute to it.
I don't know if you've seen the news recently, but they stopped all of the defunding that they were doing, so hopefully that should give you some ease as well. But the head of, I don't know what the title is, but they basically said that they're going to stop making any more changes than the ones they've already made at this
point. Right, like they're no longer going to implement certain measures or something, the Postmaster General. And a part of that is because I'm very thankful for the people, not only because it relates to the world and, you know, the United States as a whole, but also to, you know, directly me and my dad. But thankful of all the people that went out there and protested in front of the guy's house and, you know, demonstrated, you know, that this is something that we care about because, you know, I don't have the option to go protest at this guy's house because he lives in another state.
Yeah, no, of course. And I think the other part that, you know, may help a little bit with the anxiety around the health of that as well is I think just over the last couple of days, the CDC and the WHO released some new statements regarding transmission through touching an object and stuff. And they said that that's very unlikely to happen. And they've seen that the biggest reason for transmission is like larger droplets. So someone coughing or sneezing or something along those lines. And like touching things that someone may have touched is a very, very low risk. So hopefully that should ease your mind a little bit too, that, you know, if he touches something accidentally, like it's not going to do much as long as he's not, you know, standing right next to someone who's already sick or maybe asymptomatic.
Yeah. I mean, when he's like around people, he's always wearing a mask, you know, he's taking those preventative measures, which I'm really happy to see overall from him. Because obviously I care a lot about him and the rest of my family as well is taking those measures and everything. Right. And it's like, it's real nice to see, I don't know. It's just like, no matter what happens, I want everybody to survive it. Right. Like, I don't think any needless death is necessary, whether it be from like COVID or the flu or like dehydration. Right. We talked about dehydration. Like, there's a lot of countries where they can't get clean water. Like,
right.
It's just at a certain level when you scale it up, like to the world, it's just, there's so much death that happens every day as a part of like, what goes on. It's like
everyday life.
Yeah. It's like, if you start thinking in that scale, you'll just be paralyzed by the anxiety forever, right? You have to do what you can within like your family, your friend group, your community, to try and like help that change out. So.
Yeah. No, but it sounds like you handled it very well, Matt. So I applaud you for that.
And, well, thank you. You as well. You handled it as well. You know, you found out what the problem was, you know, and you went and solved it by chugging water.
Yeah, and as did you. You figured out what was causing you anxiety, and you did what was in your control, and, you know, mentally let yourself move on from what's not in your control and, you know, allow you to not let it cause you anxiety.
Well, that was a little bit longer than the 10 minutes we usually promise for these Therapy Thursday episodes, but that's what happens when you do it live, baby. I know we're not really live. It's pre-recorded, but... The point is that, you know, I hope you enjoyed this and a little bit more of our insight. Obviously, like we said, these are very real things that we go through. Also, my rash is looking better for anybody that gives a shit about last week.
No one cares, Matt.
I'm
just kidding. I actually
do care. I imagine the people that care. Like,
was going to ask you about
some
it.
Of the people I hang out with. Yeah. So I mean, things are looking up. Obviously, we've had a lot of positive news about some vaccine stuff, other things. So let's just keep going, and we hope you enjoyed our little Thursday talk.
Yep. Thank you all.